Hey, it's Shit Talk Reviews, or as Derek and I like to call it tonight, Shit Talk Reviews Light.
Light. There's no third wheel that's going to interrupt me talking this week. Thank fucking God. Just kidding, Dave. I miss you terribly.
Oh, yeah. Tech problems are tech problems, man. They're a real bitch. When you're not ready, you're not. You know what it is? It's a lack of good stage hands and roadies. That's the problem tonight.
You want to know what, though? Last week I was coming down with the plague, and that's why I was out. And so I don't know whose excuse is worse, being sick and a pansy like me, or I can't find the cord. But we'll deal with it, right?
We'll get through it one way or another.
Yeah,
we will. Well, what are we talking about today, Derek?
Ultimas. It is a super group. The album is epic. It is with David Vincent of Morbid Angel fame. Most likely, you probably heard him on Covenant and Altars of Madness, which are Morbid Angel albums. Very death metal. Rune Erickson, known as Blasphemer. You might know him from Mayhem. And then Flo Monier on drums. And he is in Nader and Sadek, who also with Blasphemer. And so they make a three-piece up that's pretty wicked. And let's talk about it.
They've got some pedigree behind them. They're not coming in cold, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Second album as Ultimas, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's anything else sneaking around out there.
It's not.
But what are your first thoughts on it?
What drew me in was I felt like the production qualities were very similar to Urn's A Feast on Sorrow from last year, my album of the year. And I really like the darkness of it. It's heavy. It's crunchy. Once I got into it a little bit more, I started hearing a lot of probably heavier version of Heaven and Hell, which was Dio and Iommi and Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath. But it's, you know, production qualities, it was very similar to that. And that's what I really liked. And then it does a really nice trade-off between classic death metal, classic black metal, and even some thrash metal. And, you know, I love thrash. And so it all just worked for me as a record to put out there for you guys. And I'm stoked to be talking about it right now because I think that these guys have a really good future. It's cool to see also David Vincent. He's not just death metal anymore. You know, I saw a couple reviews out there that said that he his voice was shot. I actually think that he's switching up things a little bit, expanding his vocal horizons, trying something a little bit new, and not just being a classic death metal singer, which he did for years with Morbid Angel and Genitorturers and Terrorizer and all these other, you know, bands. It was time for him. And I think that this was a really good experimentation that really works.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that his voice didn't sound shot to me. In fact, it sounded pretty damn strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back and listening to, you know, the old Morbid Angel stuff and the last Ultimas record, Something Wicked Marches In, he sounds strong. And like you said, you know, he may be branching out and trying some new styles to accommodate a, you know, slightly weaker voice. Who knows? You know, maybe the instrument doesn't stay as strong over the years. It happens, but it came out really, really strong. You know, he's a real operatic singer, and that style, you've got to have a lot of, you know, there's got to be a lot of power behind it for it to work right. Otherwise, it just sounds like it sounds thin and awful. And he does not sound thin and awful on this by any measure.
No, I thought that his classic death metal vocals and growl was as strong as ever. His low end, you know, bark was as barky as ever. But there was this other operatic, you know, sound that was coming out of him. And if you're going to create an album named Epic, you know, Epic can be contrived in several different ways, right? Like some people, if you're looking for, you know, crazy blast beats or crazy guitar solos, that can be epic for you. If you're looking for high-pitched Rob Halford vocals, that could be epic. But I think that to go with an epic sound, the trade-off between tonality needed to be there. And this was a, I think, epic. The album itself really, really touched on that and hit a home run.
It was big. It's a dynamic record. You know, there's a lot of highs, a lot of lows metaphorically. It's, I don't want to say it's a perfect record in a lot of regards, but in a lot of regards, it's a really, really almost perfect record. You know, the performances are super tight on it. The production, as you said, is great. It's really clean, but it's thick and meaty. The writing is solid. The performances are great. So there's a lot going for it. I've listened to it a ton over the last week. And it's not blowing, excuse me, it's not knocking any standards down for me. Which is strange because so much about this record is so good and so on the money. It feels like I should like it more, but it didn't turn all my wheels that fast. I've enjoyed listening to it. It's really listenable. Again, due to all the things that I just mentioned, the songwriting, performances, production, mix, the mix on it is great. So I'm not sure why I don't love it more. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Is it because it doesn't have gent in it, or is there too much death metal and black metal in it?
For no, you? I'm developing very slowly, but I am developing an affinity for, you know, those genres, and they bring it pretty strong in this, I think, based on my extremely limited knowledge of those subgenres. But I don't want to say it was underwhelming because it wasn't, but there was just going song to song, like I said, there's so much to like on this record across all the different, you know, metrics. There's so much to like on it. But overall, I don't know if it's going to be a regular on my recurring playlists after this, although I've enjoyed listening to it. I'm looking at both sides of the coin, I guess, which maybe isn't fair, but you know what I mean? It's how I feel.
Well, you're a dink. So it's all good, you know, be the dink that you are. And David Vincent's going to haunt you, literally, probably, because he might be in Florida. You never know.
He might.
So go hide.
The Undertaker's coming after me. You
know, he looks like the non-wrestling Undertaker.
I know it.
Don't fuck with the dude. You better like it.
This afternoon, coming up to this record, I was watching their Brutal Assault performance in 2019.
Yeah.
Man, you know, they just killed it there. Presumably they were playing, you know, the material from Something Marches then. And man, that's a great live recording. They kill it. And yes, he may well come after me.
Yeah. Well, if we find out that, you know, John's been skinned and hung, you know, by a pitchfork, we know
left
why.
Left to bleed out in his garage. Yeah, we'll know why.
It's all good. What's your favorite track? What tracks didn't do it for you?
Mephisto Manifesto absolutely was the standout for me.
Yes.
I love it. Yep. You know, Rune's opening guitar riff in that is great. And then he plays these killer, like, six note little flourishes throughout the song. They come back four or five times and I love it. I think it's a great song. It's trudgy. It's straight ahead and groovy. I love David's vocal delivery on it.
He was a Goliath. Yeah, Goliath on this track. Yep.
Yeah, just tons of cool little musical touches all throughout that song that I really, really love.
Yeah, I thought there's some music. It was a beautifully evil soundscape on that. Mm-hmm. Like, it just sounded like there should be a bubbling cauldron and dead bodies and innards around while you're listening to it. Cool. What else did you like or dislike?
Invictus I really liked as well. Had that cool, like, triplet swing feel to it. Real groove metal.
Yeah.
That one really landed for me as well. Spoils of War, the album closer, is one. If I had to pick one that I didn't for whatever, you know, was more on the negative than the positive scale for me, it would probably be that one. It just didn't have, I don't want to say it didn't have the power that the rest of the album had, but it just didn't move me as much as, you know, some of the other tracks did, specifically Mephisto Manifesto and Invictus. I think those are both killer. However, though, I have to give credit to Epic too. The intro before it is awesome. It's just like that progression of really dissonant chords, and it doesn't really indicate what's coming. I mean, if you know these players, you kind of have a good sense of what's coming, but not a whole lot of foreboding in there, just that it's an awkward and uncomfortable like minute of guitar interlude, which is really cool. And Epic then comes in and just slams right from the start. So, and again, I think all the fact that I have those standouts is another indicator that there's really good stuff on the record. That's my list of standouts. How about yours?
Yeah, Epic was just an epic brooding track. Love the death metal gore. It's modern. Love some of the fills from Flow. Blasphemers creating an eerie soundscape there. It's just a killer track. My favorite one was Misery. Thrash elements in there, obviously.
Yeah. Old school badass.
Guitar driven, frantic, great storytelling. Gothy, dark, heavy, tiptoes around death and thrash. I thought it was just an absolute masterpiece of a track. I will continue to listen to that. Mephisto Manifesto, love the slow groove and all the chug. Knew you would like that track. Thought it was cool. And then Scorcher is a classic black metal record, song for the record, and I thought that hit all the notes. If you're a black metal fan, and some of the, you know, some of David Vincent's older works, and even going to Blasphemer's stuff with Mayhem. So yeah, it was all in all, I like the record from start to finish. I came here wanting to defend David Vincent, because like I said, I read a number of reviews where they were saying he's washed up, and I'm like, I don't see it. I think this was a choice to expand his vocal horizons, and did a perfect job doing so.
I read a couple of reviews as well that they too play both sides of the coin as far as being, you know, pretty critical about it, but also being complimentary. You know, there was people accused Rune of a few, you know, one or two. I'm not talking about the prevailing attitude, but there were a couple of people that really felt like this album was very safe, you know, that they didn't do a lot of reaching on this. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, Something Wicked from 2019 seems to my ears to be a little more aggro, a little more, maybe not boundary pushing, but you know, there seems to be a little bit more to that record. But this record, again, it's very listenable. It's very approachable for a heavy album. And you know, bands are allowed to change. I think we have this conversation all the time, evolve and change their styles. I mean, look at what Metallica did with the Black Album. That was a relatively soft album by Metallica standards.
They're on Season of Mist, the record label. And I read their write-up about this record, and it sounded like what they did was they got together. They tried to, take everything from the past and make it contemporary, and they jammed a lot. Mm-hmm. And when they heard things that were organic that they really liked, they went with it in the studio and came up with this record that way. And, sometimes when you do that, you know, when you're just in the heat of the moment, you come out of it and go, whoa, this is quite a bit different. And there's a lot of people out there that just, you know, they want everything to be the same. Like I will say this, I'm a hypocrite. I want Metallica to redo the first four records over and over and over again. I wish they never did the Loads and Reloads.
Yeah.
But then there's bands like Ultimus that I've heard Morbid Angel, I've heard Mayhem, I've heard the other works, and there's a lot of it out there. So to see them taking chances, jamming, and doing what they want to be doing, and have the outcome to be something a little bit different than the past is, for me, it was refreshing. I like that they're using the word contemporary. They're still pushing the envelope, and I'm turning 50 this year, and I like to think that I've got some, you know, bone crushing still to do in the pit, and I'm not washed up. right? And so
and
I
you
think
may walk out, just, you know, set your cane aside before you get into the pit. But I agree, you've got, you still got some in you.
Yeah, we, you know, some of us dudes, and look, they've been doing this for a while. David Vincent's been at this for a while. I mean, he's got an incredible, you know, library of records under his belt. He could just, you know, go and play all the hits for the rest of the time and still pack a bar and pack a room. Yeah. But he's not. And I appreciate that. And I think that their use of the word contemporary, and then symbiosis was the other word that they used to describe the experience. When you can connect with people together that you admire as musicians or as artists, you're going to create new and interesting things, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. That people will appreciate. And so I think some of this feedback that we're getting is people, they're expecting it to be Morbid Angel from the past, and they're being sure. A dink like me, because I want James Hetfield to write the same four records over and over and over again, and then kick Lars Ulrich out of the band. But that's beside the point. I think this is a great progression for them. I think it sets them up for the future. Hopefully there's more, and we don't have to wait for long for, you know, more records from Ultimus.
Do we know if they're on tour?
I haven't looked at it. And sadly, that was the one thing I'm, you know, negligent on. So yeah. Somebody's going to comment on YouTube, be like, you get prepared, you fucking
do your
assholes.
Research.
Do your fucking research. Well, guess what? I got kids. I do this for fun. And
there's
I got
no
a
excuse.
Left. Yeah, you can suck my left nut, whoever's going to fucking yell at me for that.
We're sorry.
I'm not.
All right. Well, let's put numbers to it. I give it a solid 8 because objectively, I think it's a good album. It's well done. I think there's some good song craft in there. The performances are tight and clean and well captured, and the mix is great. And I love the riffs. Rune is a gnarly guitar player, and Flo is a crazy drummer. So objectively, like I said, it's a strong record. Subjectively, I don't love everything about it, but I still think an 8 is a pretty solid number for it, because objectively it's good. It's well done.
Listen, when your head is in a jar on David Vincent's shelf in his garage, it's fine. You've earned it. You've absolutely earned it. Now I'm going to give him an 8.5, and my head might be right on that, you know, in the next
jar
right
next
year
next to me. Yeah.
He may be a artist that's a narcissist, like most artists are, and he might believe that this is an A+. It's a 10 out of 10, and that we're both dead. And I am scared as hell of it. I'm going to lock my doors tonight. David, please don't kill us, but we do love you. And your history and even the music you're creating now is pure evil. And I love it.
There you have it. You know,
that's it.
I would hope we wouldn't get put on a shelf for, you know, an 8 and an 8.5. I don't think those are bad numbers.
Maybe he's a mad scientist and he'll put our heads in jars like Futurama, and we'll be able to talk, and we'll have like little metal tentacles that'll carry us around, and we can be sarcastic and continue to do our podcast.
Well,
so,
if he's kind enough to let us, we'll see. Well, we don't get to know what we're talking about next week because, again, our good friend David J is sadly not with us. So it'll be a waiting game for a couple of days before we find out.
You know what he's crying about is the New Jersey Devils suck. And, you know, whatever, it's too bad. New Jersey Devils suck. They're not good. And then his hockey team down here in Florida blows too. So, he's probably crying.
Wait a minute. Are the chicken tendies not doing well this year? I don't follow sport.
He keeps talking about how they lose and and he's getting old and all this other shit. So he probably lost his hockey game, and that's why he's not here. And he's just using the court. He's probably sobbing.
Well, you know what? Maybe there was an earthquake in New Jersey a couple of days ago. Maybe he's taking time to reach out to his loved ones to make sure they made it through.
Well, it better stop, because I'm going up there on Thursday night for the Beer and Metal Fest in Philadelphia. So I'm going to see Biohazard and Crowbar and also Enforced. So I'll be I'm going to be
That's awesome.
Talk about crushing some skulls Well, we're going to go hit it in the Fillmore in Philadelphia and rip it up.
Well, make sure you bring your Bengay with you and a pair of crutches. Put them in the carry-on.
I'm not ready for that yet. Not yet. But I will videotape some of the bands and put it up on our socials. And,
of course.
I'm pretty excited about seeing Biohazard again. Tales from the Hard Side should be fun.
Nice.
Should be a good time.
Nice. Well, we will do this again in a week or so. And the good Lord willing, we'll have all three of us here. And in the meantime, enjoy your little metal vacation.
Yeah! Love it. Crush some skulls.